Welcome to the IYBA's podcast channel, powered by Robert Allen Law, The Yacht Lawyers. Each week, we release discussions from our past conferences, summits, and educational events specifically related to the yacht brokerage community. With more than 1,800 members and growing, the International Yacht Brokers Association, IYBA, is the world's largest and most influential association for the yacht brokerage and charter industry. IYBA is dedicated to professionalism and ethics in all aspects of yacht transactions. This week, our segment comes from Yacht Sales and the Law 2021.
We'll get going here in just a second. We're waiting for one more panelist to arrive. They're here, and here we are, I think. Okay. In the meantime, before we get going, Paul, do you have a special announcement to make? There seems to be some confusion with the CPYB and the CLE. I know we're asking people, a lot of people, to put their names on a list, but can you go over that for us?
So just briefly, if you are a certified professional yacht broker, have done the training and passed the test, and you have that designation, you are welcome to sign up on the sheet by Emma's desk out front, and you will receive CPYB credits. If you're an attorney and you need CLEs, then there's another sheet that you would sign up on, and you would receive your CLEs. If you're not an attorney and you've signed up on that sheet, I've been advised while sitting in the parking lot of a Holiday Inn Express that you are engaging in the unlicensed practice of law, and Mr. Jeff Cox would like to speak with you. That is our announcement. Thank you.
Mad dash for the door for everybody to cross their names out. Well, I hope you enjoyed lunch. We're going to get rolling here, and this is a very special presentation, extremely interesting, called The Stages of Arbitration. Consists of three parts: the initiating an arbitration, the submissions and hearings, and then part three is enforcing an arbitration award. And you're going to be hearing from David Moss and his fellow panelists later. But first, before we tee this up, for the sake of those of you who are unaware of the saga of Bill Boatwise and Bubba Calhoun, we need to bring you up to speed with the up-to-date information about as the prop turns. So ladies and gentlemen, we humbly present the renowned acting troupe, the Low Tides, fresh from a command performance at the Paducah Canoe and Quilting Bee Convention. And if you would play the video, please.
Hi. I'm Bill Boatwise, International Yacht Broker Extraordinaire, and here's what's happened on the last season of As the Prop Turns.
You may remember I was the listing agent for the Spicy Meatball, an 88-foot limone being sold by the enigmatic Mr. Fiorino, a very experienced owner from Owensville, Missouri. Unfortunately, I was contacted by one Bubba Calhoun, a fishing boat captain from Brunswick, Georgia, who thought he could turn his hand to a bit of brokering. His niece wanted to buy George Clooney's old boat, so her and her husband Chad hired Bubba as their yacht broker to manage the deal and close it out before the end of the financial year. Now, despite Bubba's complete lack of experience, multiple tax and jurisdictional complexities, and a small issue of the boat having been previously run aground, we managed to get the boat through survey, successfully negotiate the final price, and close the sale. However, it all fell apart on delivery day as the yacht caught on fire, sank, and the captain was arrested for intoxication.
And now the lawsuits are starting to fly.
Hi, everybody. My name is David Moss. As Bob mentioned, I'm an associate at Allie Moss, Rogers & Lindsay in Palm Beach. On my panel today, I have Michael Karcher of Counsel Robert Allen Law, a lot of experience in maritime arbitration. Andrew High, who is a co-founder and partner at Luxury Law Group, a lot of experience with yacht transactions. And Serena Witter, who's a partner at Robert Allen Law, experienced maritime litigator. And this is going to be a little bit different in terms of the structure of this panel. You just saw the previously on last season of As the Prop Turns, which we used as the basis for pretty much all of Yacht Sales and the Law last year, for those of you who watched. We have three more segments of this season, and we're going to play a segment, and then up here we're going to talk about some of the issues that were raised, and then we're going to open it up for questions, and we're going to do that three times. At the beginning, I just want to say a little bit about sort of what this panel is about and why we decided to have it. So arbitration basically is a form of alternative dispute resolution where instead of going to court, the parties come together and pick a person who's going to resolve the dispute and pick a set of procedures they're going to use to resolve that dispute. And it's all done privately without the courts. Arbitration has a long history in the marine industry, particularly in the commercial shipping world. At the beginning of the last century, the 20th century, there was a judicial hostility to arbitration, at least in the United States. Courts resented that arbitrators were stealing their business, and they said that arbitration clauses were unenforceable because they were attempts to oust the courts of jurisdiction. And in 1925, Congress passed the Federal Arbitration Act. And that act and a series of Supreme Court decisions interpreting it have made arbitration agreements broadly enforceable in a lot of different kinds of situations, including some that are relevant to us in this industry. A little bit later, you know, there were obviously different national laws on arbitration, different places, and a lot of these arbitration agreements are made between people from different countries. So now, in addition to the Federal Arbitration Act, we have the Convention on the Recognition and Enforcement of Foreign Arbitral Awards, or the New York Convention, which is an international convention that allows you to enforce arbitration clauses and also enforce arbitration awards in jurisdictions all over the world, including the United States. Now, the reason we thought we would have this panel this year is that, as many of you know, we've talked about it at some of the other events, EBA has decided to set up its own sort of arbitration platform that's geared toward the yachting community. One of the major advantages of arbitration is that instead of going to a judge who knows nothing about the yacht industry, you can pick an arbitrator who knows a lot about our industry and the technical side of it, whether that's a maritime lawyer or someone else. I should mention that arbitrator doesn't have to be a lawyer. So we decided that, or EBA decided, that we would set up this platform to enable the yachting community to have access to a roster of really experienced, knowledgeable arbitrators and a set of rules that made sense and allowed us to resolve disputes quickly. And that's being integrated into our contracts, the EBA form contracts. And so we thought, for those of you who don't have experience with arbitration, we would have a panel just to talk about arbitration in general and sort of how it works from beginning to end, so people would know what to expect and know how to answer questions from clients who may not be familiar with arbitration. Now, I know that Michael has been very involved in setting up the IYAC, the International Yacht Arbitration Council, so do you want to say a little bit about what you're trying to do with that?
Okay, and thank you. And I think David hit certainly the high points. One of the main reasons why EBA has decided to put this together is, one, this is a unique business, and some of the other organizations that we deal with, the American Arbitration Association, the SMA, Society of Maritime Arbitrators out of New York, yachts are not their business. The AAA, I'm sure they have the best commercial real estate lawyers in the world has ever seen, has arbitrators and such, but in my experience with them is the word boat is not in their vocabulary. Same thing to a certain extent with the Society of Maritime Arbitrators through the years has been more dealing with I always refer to it as blue water and steel decks, you know, commercial claims, cargo claims, things like that. This is a different business and it is a different clientele. And so a lot of the idea was to have arbitrators, maritime lawyers who are in the yacht business, yacht brokers who understand the yacht business. And I think so, rather than going to other organizations, we will solve our own problems. In fact, one of the things throughout the 27 odd years of the yacht sales and law seminars, I forget how many, it's been more than I was there at the first one, so I think the number of years should get shorter, not longer. But the idea was to solve problems. The idea, was, what can we do, the people in putting on these seminars, to help you not just to sell boats at the front end and hope everything goes well, but what happens at the back end should something not go well. And so I think this is an outgrowth of that, the idea that we were putting together our own organization to do this. One, with knowledgeable people, two, with a certain amount of privacy, three, with more keeping it up amongst ourselves. And so by doing that, we have started putting together not just local lawyers and brokers, but we're also reaching out to some of our, European cohorts that we work with, and to try and do this on a more of an international scale and such. And again, it's so we solve these problems ourselves. We are not going public. A lot of you have high net worth individuals as your clients who do not want to go to court and do not want their name put out. Builders, brokers, owners would probably rather not see this happen in public. So that's one of the other reasons we're doing it. So we've kind of put together our set of rules. We have now been setting up training sessions for lawyers and brokers as arbitrators. And it's in place and ready to go. So with that, we're going to, I think with the continuation of the adventures of Bubba, we can see how this works. And then with this panel, we'll kind of discuss the process, how it goes.
Okay, so with that, I think we're ready for act one of As the Prop Turns.
Walked in. Bill, one second. Michael Moore's on the phone for you.
Oh. Okay. I'll take it in here. Michael, how can I help you today?
Yeah, pretty busy. What's going on?
So Chad is not only filing a lawsuit against Mr. Fecorino, but he's included me in the suit as well.
The spicy meatball, I knew that POS Limoni would come back to bite me at some point. So, last time I ever let Bubba look over any repairs on anything ever again.
So Bubba performed him in a negligent manner, which doesn't surprise me whatsoever. What's the good news? So you're going to file a motion to compel arbitration based off the IYAC rules. That's a good thing. Thank God for the IYBA agreement. Michael, could you represent me in this case? No, you can't. Okay. So you can't because of conflict of interest, but I can go to the roster of attorneys on the IYBA list, and I'm sure I can find somebody very suited there.
Yeah, for sure there'll be somebody that can handle the case well. Okay. Okay. That's okay, Michael. We'll see you at arbitration. Thank you so much.
This is yacht broker extraordinaire, Bubba Calhoun. May I help you? Oh, hey, Chad. Yeah, hey, Chad, I'm in a pretty busy office right now. Hang on just a minute. Let me step outside. I'll talk with you. Stand by. Hang on. Hey, Chad. Hey, what's shaking? No, man, life is really good, Chad. Yeah, I'm coming out of a mega yacht shop right now. Uh-huh. Yeah? What? Arbitration? What the hell is arbitration? Well, yeah, I'm the one who told you to sue everybody. So, so we ain't got to go to court. Oh, Chad, I tell you what, I'm going to be your hero one more time. I'm going to fix this. You fire your damn lawyer. I will go to this arbitration thing, and I will teach them boys a thing or two about what's going on in this business. Man, these boys are gonna need schooling till the last day, ain't they? This is ridiculous. All right, I'm gonna fix this, Chad. You stand by your phone. I'm gonna call you with a positive outcome. That's right, Bubba to the rescue one more time. I'll talk to you, bye. God damn.
Okay, so that was act one, and we're gonna talk about some of those issues at the beginning. Of an arbitration. So I think to start, Serena, how does an arbitration start?
All right, well, it depends on the rules that we're working under, but usually it involves filing some kind of notice of arbitration to the other side, and that notice of arbitration should include basically the tenor of your claims that you are bringing, the contact information of the other side, the respondent, and basically just outlining why this arbitration panel has jurisdiction to hear this dispute, and basically notifying the attaching the complaint that has the arbitration provision that gives the counsel the jurisdiction to hear the dispute. And basically that's how we get started with the notice of arbitration.
So that's how it's supposed to happen. In the video, it didn't quite work that way because despite the arbitration clause, they just went ahead and sued the other party. When that happens, when you have an arbitration agreement, someone sues you anyway. Michael, what can you do?
Okay, I do want to back up to one point. It was kind of, you know, we have to be, you know, having a serious discussion after watching that, just keeping them straight face. But having said that, somewhere in there, we're going to refer to an arbitration clause. The first step, even before what Serena was saying, we were asked how to initiate the arbitration. What happens before end time is you have agreements. You have a listing agreement, you have a purchase and sale agreement, and that arbitration clause is in there. You know, I sometimes think, you know, most people look at the contracts and they go to the important things, which boat and how much, and those dates. Back towards the end, you have those sections, dispute resolution. You know, as lawyers, we don't always, we turn to the back pages because we don't always have those happy thoughts that it's going to go perfectly. But what happens when something doesn't go well? In the new IYBA listing agreements, and the purchase and sale agreements, the form ones, you'll see, I believe it's clause 17, gives the whole layout of how to get here in the first place. Because, and you've entered into a contract with someone, the buyer and the seller have entered into that contract, and should it not go perfectly, there is a provision on, you know, how we're going to resolve a dispute, which leads us to arbitration. And you have the choices of no arbitration, you can go to court, either choosing either the London arbitration, I think now we have it, you can choose the London arbitration, or if left blank, you know, it automatically, you know, if you haven't checked off going to court, it goes to the IYAC and such. So you have the parties have agreed to arbitration beforehand. So it's important to read those back pages. And so that's why when Bubba, you know, says there's an arbitration clause in it, That's how you get there in the first place, or that's how you set it up. So should there be a problem? And then there once is there a problem, then, as Serena was saying, you initiate, you know, someone's initiating the arbitration. They're saying, you know, we have a dispute. Something went wrong. We're not happy. And rather than suing someone, hopefully rather than suing someone, we go to the, you know, there's an arbitration clause. What happens now, getting to Dave's question, long-winded around, what sometimes happens is someone says, I'm not happy, sue the person. And sometimes that's not the colorful phrase. But, and often than not, the respondent, the defendant will say, you know, you can't sue me, there's an arbitration clause. In fact, around 2005, I was involved with one of the cases with a FYBA purchase and, or actually listing agreement, which buried down at the bottom, had an arbitration clause. We were, you know, and it was a boat that was in the care and custody of a broker. So they sued the broker, and the broker was also listed in it. So the broker was able to say, we have an arbitration clause. One of the US District Court judges here over on Broward Boulevard looks at it and says, you guys made the deal, there's an arbitration clause, get out of my courtroom, go arbitrate. So that leads to, that leads to the initiation. So it's often used as a defense right away when someone wants to sue someone and saying you can't sue. You already agreed to it. You put in a contract, you signed it. So then we get to arbitration. So
if you go too far down the road of litigation without bringing up the arbitration clause though, can you waive your right to compel arbitration?
You can, but it's gotta be somewhat pretty far down the road because it is almost a defense to it right off the bat. At some point, you know, the judge may say, you're